passionate longing for the Lord leads to a certainty of truth in the Lord. So the more you pursue the Lord, the more you know him. The more you know him, the more you believe in the truth surrounding him. The more you believe, the more you believe this. Ready? The more you believe, the more you believe this. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Good day and welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and with me in our studios is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. You've joined us for a great day. We're walking through some dense and rich portions of Scripture. In fact, the passage in question today has this great verse: "One thing have I asked for, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Now, Robbie, we're in a message in a series entitled No Reason to Fear, and this verse really goes right at fear, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is a great day. You said that already. It is a great day because we're fighting fear. Hey, fear, come here. I got something to say to you, man. Take that. Take the truth of God's word. Take the truth that sets us free. Take the truth that I build my faith upon, and don't let my feelings go all sideways based on circumstances that aren't reality when it comes to who I am in Christ, what he has for me, and what I'm living for. And that's what David is going to do in this psalm today, and inspired by the Lord, written for us to say to us, listen, place your faith, look at what is real, long for him who is true. And then all of a sudden, the fact, and you combine your faith with that fact, turns into right feelings in the truth of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. Again, we are longing for our listeners to be impacted by the Lord. So in the name of Jesus Christ, and may the Spirit of God specifically, I'm filled with faith, even now, for this message upon your heart today to make a lasting change on who the Lord is and what he wants to do in your life. Listen, not next week, but even right now in this moment. God, may it be so.
All right, and to our listeners, we would add that we would love to hear from you. If God is working in your life, we would love to hear from you how God maybe is using this series in particular to change you, to bring about radical transformation to his glory. We'd love to hear from you. Our website, again, is liveinthelight. That's LIGHT.ca. And while you're there, you can get a free copy of today's message, order this series, or even any of our previous series, or even just drop us a note of encouragement or tell us how we can be praying for you. We'd love to hear from you. You can also phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. All right, well, our message today in the series No Reason to Fear teaches us that we need to flee fear by pursuing God. Let's go now to today's message in Psalm 27, and here now is Robbie.
Relationships. Any person that has your heart more than the Lord is an idol. It's an idol. Position. I must be, I must have. I will not give up. Love can be an idol. Do you know that? Love can be an idol. Respect. Sports, hobbies, stuff, things, material goods often become idols. Power is an idol. Acceptance can be an idol. Acceptance. Lord God, we repent of the idols in our midst that have prevented us from seeing the one thing, from following after the one thing. When I'm in pursuit of God, the Lord is my one passion. Point number two now. When I'm in pursuit of God, my faith is rock solid. That's right. My faith is rock solid. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high." Here it is. "He will lift me high upon a rock. Notice now the connection between verse 4 and verse 5. When you're reading God's word, it's written in a certain flow for a certain reason. Here's the flow. Passionate longing for the Lord leads to a certainty of truth in the Lord. So the more you pursue the Lord, the more you know him. The more you know him, the more you believe in the truth surrounding him. The more you believe, the more you believe this. Ready? The more you believe, the more you believe this. On Christ the solid rock I stand. The closer you are to the cross and to the Lord God Almighty, and you see him, the more you are saying each day, day, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Notice this too with David. Who he is in private leads to who he is in public. It's his fostering of his relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Lord God Almighty, which allows him then to be powerful as he goes out and lives in the presence of others. If the weekend services are your only fountain for drinking, you're totally missing out. This is a fire up zone to get you more fired up Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday, and so on. That is, it's the cultivation of you and God together in worship and the word and your family and whoever. That is what gives you the strength to go live it from Monday to Saturday, as opposed to coming in here being like, I'm so thirsty. I got nothing. I'm so down. I hear that all the time. I go to church and then I collapse. I go to church and then I collapse. I go to church. Well, you got to live it out now. And you got to drink for yourself. My job's not to feed you just every single day. My job's to come and to teach you and to help you feed yourself. I hope you see that as we go through God's word. You know what I do waking up tomorrow morning? On a Sunday morning, I preach two more times, but Sunday morning, I wake up desperate to hear from God because I can't do without him. Every day. And some days are so hard, aren't they? But it's so worth it. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And your faith becomes rock solid. Notice what David says in verse 5. He says, God will hide me in his shelter. Okay, watch this. Fear has just put its tail between its legs and run away. See what David does? God will hide him in his shelter, especially in the day of trouble. David knows that God will conceal him in the cover of his tent. David knows that God will lift him high upon a rock. One commentator put it this way. The result of faithful obedience is the assurance of security. The result of faithful obedience is the assurance of security. And what is assurance in the Lord? Assurance is a fear killer. Hey, are you a genuine child of God? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Have your sins been forgiven in the cross of Jesus Christ? Have you been adopted as one of God's children? Are you a true sheep in the shepherd's flock? If the answer is yes, then listen to these truths and allow your faith to grow as you realize you are standing on Christ the solid rock. John 6, verse 38, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, and this is the will of him who sent me." Ready? Ready? I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up in the last day. I shall lose nothing of what the Father has given me, he says. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Oh, my faith just grew a little bit more. John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will," ready, "and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Child of God, that's you. That's you. This is what David knows. His faith then becomes rock solid. I love the metaphor of sheep and shepherd. I love that we're sheep and Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And of course, the Lord is my shepherd. And listen, the more you pursue the shepherd, the more fear flees. The more you pursue the shepherd, the more fear flees. In Christ, you're rock solid. Number three, when I'm in pursuit of God, I love this, my posture changes. When I'm in pursuit of God, my posture changes. Look at verse 6 now. It says this, "And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies around me." And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies around me. Again, follow the pattern of this psalm. Absorb here the life-changing principles. Verses 1 to 3 from last week are what? Verses 1 to 3 are the character and the promises of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That one, loved ones, verses 1 to 3, fact. You can write down fact beside those. Verses 4 and 5, this is the all-out pursuit of the Lord and his protection. What is that? Verses 4 to 5, feeling. Fact in who God is and his promises. The faith, so it's faith is verses 4 and 5. It's faith of pursuing God and knowing his protection. And then verse 6, when we start to see now the outworking of David's life, and now we see what he begins to feel. Verses 1 to 3, fact. Verses 4 to 5, faith. Verse 6, now we start to see his posture changing and the feelings of David are changed. His feelings come out because his life was based on fact, and because he put faith along with fact, now his feelings are rightly moving in the direction of the will of God. Tell me this, how deflating is it to be around an Eeyore personality? You know Eeyore, Winnie the Pooh? How deflating is it to be around an Eeyore? Sad, gloomy, pessimistic, so such melancholy all the time, often struggling with despair and oh. Listen, it's hard to watch. It's hard to look at. It's tough to be around people who are yours. It's tough. And you know when it's happening to us and we know it and we hate it. Why am I this way? We know it's so wrong, but you feel like you're stuck in this valley of melancholy. But there is some encouragement when you find yourself here. You're not alone. You know, twice in Psalm 42, the psalmist says this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He says, "Why are you in turmoil within me?" Twice he says that. He's struggling with despair, with depression. But then he says this, he says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." There it is. Twice he says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Stuck in the valley of melancholy, a posture changes as he now pursues what is fact and places faith with that. So here is David. Instead of David with head down and sulking, enemies coming to kill him, trying to eat up his flesh, it says right there in verse 2, now his head has been lifted up. Notice it says this. It says, above my enemies all around me. I love that. And my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. I remember hearing this poem in seminary from a professor. He said this, he says, "If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look down. If you want to be delivered, look up." Look up. And this is what our Savior does. I love Jesus Christ and what he does. This is what he does in the midst of our chaos, our busyness, our frustration, our hurts, our distractions, and our trials. What does he do? Jesus comes up to us and he says, "My child, my child, my child, look up." That's what Jesus does. He comes up in the midst of our hardest moments and he says, he does one of these and says, "Hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you all summer." And he does, and he lifts your chin and he says, "My child, look up." And you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. And what does that song say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth go strangely dim in the light of his glory. He says, "My child, look up." I love people in the Bible I can relate to, like Peter. "Lord, I'll never betray you." "Oh yeah, Peter, rooster three times, deny me." "No, never." He does. Remember that moment in scripture? The rooster crows. And in one of the gospels, it says, Jesus turns and looks at Peter. Imagine that moment. "I'll never deny you." Jesus looks at Peter. Peter just absolutely breaks. Goes out and weeps bitterly. How devastated would you be? He betrayed his Savior. "I never did." He did three times. He does not see Jesus again until Jesus is risen from the dead. And I was reading recently at the end of John chapter 21, and Peter's like, "Hey, let's go fishing." And some of the disciples, and they go fishing, and Jesus stands on the shore and he's like, "Have you caught anything?" And they say, no, he's like casting down on the other side, and they haul in 153 large fish. And I think, I can't remember, maybe it was Andrew. Andrew says, look, Simon, it's the Lord. And what does Peter do? Puts on his outer garment, jumps in the boat, or in the water, jumps in the water. And it had to be a mad, flopping, swimming, chaotic, flailing to his Savior. Awesome. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me 3 times? Do you love me? Peter, and Jesus is saying to Peter, my child, look up. Look up. Somewhere else he says, and when you have turned again, when you have repented, when you have been restored, what Jesus does. You're in a hard time? Jesus says, it's okay. I can forgive you. I can restore you. My child, look up. How about Stephen being stoned? Acts chapter 6 and 7, stoned to death, his enemies all around him. And what does he do? He looks up and he sees Jesus sitting and standing at the right hand of the Father. And he gazes upon Jesus Christ. He asks the Lord to forgive those who are stoning him to death, and he falls asleep. Why? Because he looked up. Wow. When you pursue the Lord, your posture changes. When you pursue the Lord, Jesus Christ comes in and makes a huge difference. Those in pursuit of God will have a change of posture. What will happen, 2 Corinthians 4? Their vision will turn from slight momentary affliction to understanding that an eternal weight of glory awaits them. An eternal weight of glory awaits them. That's posture being changed. So when I'm in pursuit of God, the Lord is my one passion. My faith is rock solid. My posture changes. And number four is this. I love it. My praise is ignited. My praise is ignited. Let's look at all of verse 6 now. It says, and now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies around me. And I will listen. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. This here is David longing to reach the tabernacle of his God. Why does he long to reach the tabernacle of his God here that he might burst forth with praise? Loved ones, you must understand that your worship is very important to God. Do you realize that? Your worship is very important to God. Your pursuit of God must move beyond your head and it must affect your heart. There are no exceptions to this, not one person. It must move from head also to heart. Let me ask you, are you a worshiper? Are you a worshiper? Here are some indicators if you're a worshiper or not from this one verse. If you're a worshiper, you do this. You sacrifice. You see that in verse 6? I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. You sacrifice. Romans 12 says that we are to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, an offering. You know what this means? We are to place our lives on the altar. A sacrifice of worship to our God. We sacrifice. What does this mean? We give our time. We give ourselves. We give our treasure, but we give our hearts, most importantly. This means that you give your best to the Lord. So this means you come to church as the church. Follow me. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are now have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. You are the church. Together, we are the church. You come to church as the church, prepared, ready. You come ready to worship. I gotta admit, okay, as your pastor, I gotta admit, sometimes at the beginning of our services, it's really discouraging. I mean, I can't judge anyone's heart. And so I won't. And maybe discouraging is the wrong word. It's surprising, maybe. How long it takes sometimes, or just where are we at when we come? I think it's all the complexity. I think it's all the noise. I think it's the lack of one thing. I think we're so often, and just I'm talking about like staff, elders, all of us. Are we ready to worship? Do we know what we're doing? Do we realize the things that we're singing? Are we giving of ourselves? Do we think about this stuff? Do we attempt to put ourselves in a place where, God, here I am? If we're a worshiper, then we sacrifice, we come ready to give our praise to God because we realize how much he wants it. Here's another indicator, you shout for joy. If you're a worshiper, you shout for joy. See that there in verse 6? Sacrifices with shouts of joy. Oh, how boring we often are. Can we say amen to that, right? Right? Oh, how boring we often are. How reserved and how calculated. For so long, some of us have been so stiff, so afraid of emotion, so afraid of expression to the Lord. Listen, to be a stiff board in worship makes you like no one used of God in Scripture. To be a stiff board in worship makes you like no one that is used of God in Scripture. Shouts of joy. David loved to express his worship to God. In fact, he danced a dance, didn't he? Now, in this church, I'm not asking you to be a distraction at all. I'm not looking for someone to run up and down the aisles and be like, "Woo, look at me." I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for you to climb up the rafters and swing back and forth. I'm not looking for that either, okay? In fact, that will be a problem, okay? But what God is looking for is joy. Is a shout of joy, is a life that wants to worship him. God is looking for emotion. Emotion's okay. Emotion's good. I mean, look at me for crying out loud, right? I mean, emotion is what we're supposed to be. It's not like a roller coaster of led by feelings. It's an outworking of my God is awesome. I am living for him. I now come. And like David, I have shouts of joy because I can't contain how amazing he is. I so much want that for our church, that you can express your, and maybe your expression is eyes closed and you are so filled with God's Spirit as your eyes are closed, but you're worshiping. I keep reading the Bible and I keep coming across passages. It is not okay to come here and do this. It is not okay. Here's the next indicator that you are a worshiper. Ready? You sing. How about that? See what it says there? I will sing and make melody to the Lord. The end of verse 6. I will sing and make melody. How's that for news? This just in. Sing. Right? Sing to the Lord. That's good. Singing. Singing is the most natural form of gratitude to our God. Singing is so natural for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Singing praise and joy to the Lord, listen, is not an option. It's ignited from a life pursuing God. It's ignited from a life pursuing God. If some of you have any doubt what I'm saying, you're like, that's just one passage. And let's do this to end this service. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to find out here what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 5. Here we see evidence of what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ready? Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, I'm listening. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Ready? But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Now what the Bible does now. Now the Bible explains what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ready? Okay, ready? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, what does that mean? Worship. When you are filled with God's Spirit, a great indicator that he is genuinely filling you is you worship. You worship together, addressing one another, it says. In hymn songs and spiritual songs. How about this? Singing and making melody to the Lord with half your heart. Oh, wait. Singing and making melody to the Lord with all of your heart. What's another indicator we are filled with God's Spirit? You sing. So this is what I picture. You're driving to church. You're with your family. And the Holy Spirit's like, oh, yes, we get to sing today. Yes, we get to praise Jesus. And then you walk in, he's like, okay, here we go. The music's playing, man. Josh has got us all teed up. And the Holy Spirit's like, bleh. And then you're like, Holy Spirit's like, what are you doing? Sing. Come on. Sing. And you're like, I don't really feel like it right now. You're not filled with God's Spirit, man. You're not filled with God's Spirit. God's Spirit loves to sing about Jesus. God's Spirit just goes for the Lord. And when he goes for the Lord, he sings. He sings of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 continues, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I thought the Bible just said, giving thanks always and for everything. Oh, it did. What's an indicator you were filled with God's Spirit? Gratitude. Gratitude. Let's reverse that. What's a guarantee you're not filled with God's Spirit? Complaining. Grumpiness. The Spirit of God is never grumpy, and he never complains. He's awesome. Grateful for everything and always. To God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, what's the last indicator that we are filled by God's Spirit according to Ephesians 5, verses 17 and 21? Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know what? I'll label this humility. Humility. You love each other. Unity. Seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord in humility. So here it is. Ready? When you pursue the Lord, your praise is ignited. When you pursue the Lord, your praise is ignited. The Holy Spirit of God within you loves to sing to Christ. So where we start is where we finish. We are called to seek the Lord. Ready? Out with the complicated, in with simplicity. What do you say? Lord, give me a hunger for you. Lord Jesus Christ, break up my fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. I've shared this with you many years ago. This prayer changed my life. And many people close to me when this church began. In fact, I will suggest to you that this prayer, in a sense, started this church. Before this was even a dream, this began to foster in my heart. This is what A.W. Tozer writes as a response to those who are serious about following hard after the Lord. He says, "Oh God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me, listen, and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire." Here it is. "Oh God, the triune God, I want to want you." Do you see what he just did? This you can pray this prayer. It's not, "I want you." It's, "God, today I want to want you. I want to desire you." He says, "I long to be filled with longing." Do you long to be filled with longing? Again, you're not saying you're there. You're saying, "I want to be there." "I long to be filled with longing," he says. "I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, so that I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Please, God, say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from this misty lowland where I have wandered so long." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by living the light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.